And in the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And it says it's a real privilege to be here tonight. Looking forward to the meeting this week. Many of them from up Knoxville away, so I'm hoping to come down on Tuesday to be with you in the all-day service, looking for the Lord just to, well, just to flood our souls, and His will may be done.
Amen.
We just come through revival this past, I've been gone 2 weeks up in McDonald, Tennessee, and we had a good meeting there and seen several get saved. And back home, they were having a meeting there at the church, back at Bates Mountain. Brother Mike Goodson was there preaching revival for them. And, well, they were kind of expecting one thing, and they got another. And you know, you just don't pigeonhole God. I mean, sometimes we come to church, we're expecting God to do this and do that, and He'll do another thing. And I mean, we just need to look for God. I mean, not any certain particular way, but just look for God to be there. And look for God to move and wait upon Him. And I'm glad that He's sovereign tonight, and He don't move at no man's command. He moves and He does as He wills, as He wants to, when He wants to. And I'm so glad of that tonight. I want you to pray for me tonight. And by the way, I've been about this. I'm gonna preach whether you pray or not, but it might help me a little bit. But I'm planning on preaching whether you pray or not. I pray before I got here at prayer downstairs. So I'm going to preach whether you pray or not. So just kind of help me out tonight if it'll help you any. But you just let the Lord have His will tonight as we bring the message. Romans chapter number 13, verse number 11. The Bible said, "In that knowing the time, and that knowing the time." 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and verse number 1. The Bible said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren." Notice what He said now. "And that knowing the time," then He said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren." I'd like to preach tonight for just a little while on recognizing the time. Amen. Recognizing the time, or the old Testament, of what time is it.
Yeah.
You've heard many preachers use that thought on what time is it. I want to use the thought tonight on recognizing the time.
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads and we'll have a moment of prayer, then we'll bring the message. Father, I want to thank You tonight, Lord, for these divine arrangements. Thank You, Father, for Brother Langston inviting us to come. Now, thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Now, Father, I pray that You'd take us for the next few moments and use it. I pray, Father, that You'd clothe me tonight with the mantle of preaching. I pray, Father, that You'd stir the fire of God in my soul. Now, I pray, Father, that You'd use us tonight to be the blessing that only You can do through us. Now, I pray, Father, that You'd speak to hearts and lives. Now, Lord, You know the need tonight of the church, and You know the need of each individual tonight. I don't. But Lord, I pray tonight that You'd help us to recognize the times and recognize the seasons, Lord, that we're now living in. And then, Lord, I pray tonight, as never before, that You'd bring Holy Ghost conviction.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, that Your power might be demonstrated tonight, Father, in the Word of God and in the invitation. Oh, Lord, I pray tonight that You'll just have Your will and Your way. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, we've read these two verses tonight, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, and then we've read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. And both of these two verses tonight speaks about the time. The Bible said in that knowing the time, knowing the time. And then He said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, but of the times and the seasons.
Yeah.
I will use the thought tonight on just exactly what time is it.
Yeah.
What time is it? I want to say first of all tonight, not much introduction, just get down to, I mean, the heart of the message.
Yeah.
I want to say tonight, as far as the world is concerned tonight,
yeah,
it's peerless time.
Yeah.
As far as the world is concerned, it's peerless time. And you know that old passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Won't you turn that for just a second? So many times, I mean, I believe I could quote it tonight. I want you to turn and read with me tonight there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now remember, as far as the world's concerned, that it's peerless times. Paul writing to young Timothy, he said this, "Know also that in the last days that peerless time shall come." Now, folks, that's where we're living tonight. As far as the world system's concerned, I mean, that's where we're at tonight, peerless times. And then he went on to say in verse number 2, he said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." He said covetousness and boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now in verse 2 and verse 3 you see here that they're people without any character at all. I've never seen a day when people have less character than ever that I've ever seen. Notice what the Bible said, lovers of their own selves. Now a man that's in love with himself, or a woman that's in love with herself, or a teenager that's in love with herself, they just don't have much character about him. Then he said, all covetousness and boasters, and on through the list. Wow, folks, that's exactly where we're at. People just don't have much character. But notice down there in verse number 3, the latter part, he said, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now these are people without any conviction at all. No conviction whatsoever. Why, they don't think nothing about talking about those that are good. They don't have no conviction about being a traitor, and heady, and high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's exactly where we're at tonight. Knowing the time, knowing the seasons, as far as the world's concerned tonight, it's perilous times, uncertain times, unprecedented times, unusual times, unheard of times, morally, spiritually, economically, it's perilous times tonight across this country. Perilous times, as far as the world. I was over in Charlotte, North Carolina just a couple of weeks ago. Picked up the paper over there, and it came out in the Charlotte Observer. It said there that 27% of all North Carolina pregnancies end in abortion. In 3 North Carolina cities, Raleigh, Greensboro, and Fayetteville, they said there are more abortions than there are live births in those 3 cities. Now, folks, listen, if we're not in the last days, when you think about the drugs, and when you think about the immorality, and this HBO system they got now, you know what I call that? Hell's bad odor. That's a pretty good label for HBO. Hell's bad odor. Travel around the country, find all these, what they call them, them big old these things that got set up, man, they're piping it in. 100+ channels. Got the Playboy Channel, HBO, the Cinemax, and all the others. I'm talking about it's perilous times, morally and spiritually and every other way. As far as the world's concerned, it's perilous times. But I'm knowing the times as far as the message is concerned. As far as the message is concerned, thank God it's preaching time. And it's a proclaiming time. I want to tell you now, I've been stirred just here recently afresh and anew. I've had that preaching stir in me. It's time that we begin to proclaim the Word of God. This thing's black as a million midnights. Sin's abounding on every side. And a lot of folks and a lot of so-called preachers and lay members have got the lockjaw. I won't say anything about it. I'm talking about some violent preaching and some fundamental preaching and some fearless preaching. That'll look like deacons in the eye, and look Miss Maturman members in the eye, and look Daddy Warbucks in the eyes, and look Sister Wigglejaw in the eye, and look the whole clan in the eye, and preach, friend. I'm talking about preaching time. There's never been a time when we need more preaching. Listen, on the job, in the community, on the street corners, in tears, jails and prisons. It's preaching time. Preaching. That's more preachers retired. More preachers giving up and giving in. I say this with all due respect. I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that God's got a tree out there for every possum. I believe that. I believe God's got a tree out there for every possum. I believe God's got a place to preach for every preacher. Now, not necessarily that every preacher's going to have a church, but I'm going to tell you something. These places to preach if you want to preach. I ain't never had to sit around. I ain't never made that a practice in my life to sit around and wait on my pastor to call on me to preach. And listen, now, listen, I've been in the jails and in the prisons this past 2 or 3 years. In kid meetings, I'm in brush carver meetings, cottage repair meetings, the old folks' homes, the nursing homes. I'm telling you tonight, it's preaching time. As far as the message of the Word of God's concerned, it's time we proclaim that message to a lost and a dying world. You're going to have that this week, preaching time. Two messages tonight. Lord, have mercy. I don't know if they say about that, because I don't think stand that. I mean, two messages tonight. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know if I can take that. We're not going to get home in time for me to see my favorite television show. Oh, no, it's going to have a paint bear. But the license will be calling me. I'm trying to find out what's wrong. Oh, listen, folks, it's preaching time. Preaching time like never before.
Yeah,
preaching that'll exalt the saved.
Yes, sir.
Preaching that'll expose our rotten, dirty, filthy sin.
Yes,
preaching that'll enlist soldiers in the army of God. Yes, preaching, folks, that'll edify the saint of God. It's preaching that.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Listen, Brother Roy, just made this statement some time ago. He made this statement to me in my house, in the living room. He said, Brother Buster, 40 years ago, he said, they was a dire need. For some old time, he said, good biblical teaching.
Yeah.
He said, years ago, men didn't know if they said, millennials, the premillennials, the panmillennials. He said, they didn't know if they had it today and lost it tomorrow. He said, they was a desperate need for some biblical teaching years ago. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, in the year that we're living in, the time that we're living in, he said, there's a desperate need for some old time. Holy Ghost, feel me. I need to get a hold of God and get along with God and come out and preach. Preaching. You know what I found? I found preaching is not all that popular. Oh, teaching. Teaching. Get your series. Oh, I mean, get you a good series, you know. And just all the time exhort the saints. Build the saints up. Get them on shouting ground. You'll be well like them, friend. But you get you a minister like John the Baptist. And walk in and say, you generation of Bible. Now listen, who's warned you to flee the last that come? You don't book many meetings like that. And then we get to preaching like your ministry, like no Elijah. And stand before Ahab. And say, Ahab, by the word of the Lord, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. I mean, you do that kind of preaching. Judgment preaching and sin preaching. There's just not too much demand for it today. A ministry like old Nathan to come before the King of Israel and say, David, you're the man, you sinned. You committed adultery with Bathsheba. Not much demand for that type of preaching. Well, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if they can seek them out, teachers having the itch in you. Oh, Lord, give me more about Revelation. Give me more about Daniel. I heard about a lady here a while back. She told the man of God in her church, and she said, well, you just ain't feeding me too much. She said, I like old Dr. So-and-so. He tells me about the planetary system, and he tells me about, you know, the UFOs and all this. He tells me about the Bermuda Triangle and all these things. Now, that'll build your mind, that'll build your intellect, but that will not lay a demand for Holy Ghost repentance at your heart's door. I'm telling you, we need some preaching. It's preaching time. As far as the ministry and the message is concerned, preaching. Hang around. I'm just kind of getting started. I want to bog in here and check up one or two more places. But then as far as the church is concerned, knowing the times, the season, as far as the church is concerned, it's not only preaching time for the ministry and peerless times for the world, but it's problem times for the church. Problem time. I'm going to tell you something. I think about what the Bible said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Jesus speaking that Laodicea church age. He said, I know thy works, and thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou were hot or cold because thou art lukewarm. And neither hot or cold, I spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. I know it's not, he said, that thou art wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. Hey, I mean, that's the condition that lavish churches across America. They think they have need of nothing. They think they're rich and increased with goods. But hey, we're thankful. In a lot of ways. Problem time. More preachers are quitting. More preachers are giving up the ministry. I've heard about more preachers having heart attacks. Listen, in the last 2 years and all my whole ministry, coming up with ulcers, had all kinds of dreaded diseases of the nerves. I'm talking about it's problem time.
Amen.
A lot of the church.
Amen. Yeah.
Got a problem about this. We got an attitude problem.
Yeah.
A lot of people have an attitude problem concerning the church.
That's it, brother. Yeah.
You know what it is? They can say, I can take it or I can leave.
Yeah,
I can worship God just as good at home as I can the church. You've got a bad attitude problem.
Yes, there is, brother.
An attitude problem about the man of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just didn't like what he said. Who's he saying he is? I'll tell you who he is. He's God's under shepherd. He's a man that'll send the judgment seat. I'm giving a chance for every message he's ever
given.
Attitude problem.
Yeah.
Attitude problem is about visitation.
Yeah.
I've never seen so much attitude problem about visitation.
Yeah.
Want to come in on Sunday morning and shout the victory. Oh, want to get in the glory and shout. I like to do that. I like to get in. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I know you've got a right to shout if your name's written in heaven. I know that. I know the scripture. I'm not a novice concerning that. Luke 10:20, I understand that. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, they want to ride the bandwagon. And they want to ride the wagon down the hill. But they don't do much falling. They don't do much dancing. And knocking on doors. They've a bad attitude problem.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, you can announce the field trip. You can announce. Listen, some kind of fish fry.
Yes.
Let God help run over you, come get that.
Yes.
But you can announce visitation on Saturday morning. Oh, you never heard the lie. Well, actually, at least I'm asking you teachers. I don't even know who teaches this. I have no earthly idea who teaches this. I'm asking your teachers something. Do you go on visitation? Are you busy? Ask you deacons something. I think I may know who one or two deacons is here. I don't even know how many deacons. But do you deacons go on visitation? Huh? Hey, I'm talking. Hey, you choir members, get up here and swag in the choir. Hey, do you try to go on visitation? And if you can't make visitation, do you try to visit during the week? Do you try to tell somebody else? Hey, I'm talking about attitude problem.
Amen.
Attitude problem.
Yeah.
Good. We got not only an attitude problem, we got an attendance problem.
Yeah.
Attendance problem.
Yeah.
I remember Daddy, not a little boy, talking about people having Sunday eyes. Couldn't ever figure out what he's talking about. Sunday eyes. I'd heard about that lot of eyes.
No.
I'd heard about a lot of sicknesses, you know. He's viruses and this and that, but Sunday eyes.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, son, so they got Sunday eyes.
Yeah.
He said, now they just may make Sunday morning. Time between Sunday morning and they get out of church. And sometime between Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, along about 6:15 or 6:30, they come down with this dreaded disease he called Sundayitis. As a little boy, I thought, well, what security? You have to get a penicillin shot? You have to go to the hospital, your little boy? I don't know how. He said they got Sundayitis. And he said they just cannot get back to the house of God. Well, I'm glad you made it tonight. But you know what else? Today's a Wednesday night itis. Yeah, old Wednesday night it is. I mean, you know, about a little bit before 7, the Wednesday night itis for him. And you're too tired to come. You work all day. And you say, I just can't make it. And it's amazing to me that other folk can make it. I'll tell you what's wrong, folk. We've got an attendance problem. We just don't love the Lord. Like you say,
Lord. Thank you, sir. Amen. Yeah, that's it.
It's August the 8th, 1976, when I raised the white flag to surrender, but it's never been a visitation program come and knock on my door and tell me to come to church. I've never had to ask anybody what time we're supposed to be at church. I mean, I found myself at the house of God because I fell in love with the Lord like I've never been in love with.
Amen. That's it. Yeah.
Some of you are already planning on missing tomorrow night. Bless God. Two preachers. Lord have mercy. Boy, I got to figure a way to get out of this thing. Reckon Mama wants me to come over and babysit her. Reckon the next door neighbor, you know, wants me to keep her kids or something. I mean, you got all that kind of plans. Can you scheme and canal how you going to get out of this
thing?
You know, it's amazing to me. I've been in revivals, you know, Monday night, bless God, you're back in revivals. I mean, on Monday night, they're just lying the altars. The town is falling.
and seemingly confess and share it. And get what?
On Tuesday night, they don't even show up. They must have got a good dose because they don't even come back.
And suppose they got love with y'all.
Oh, my God. Got a Nintendo problem about Sunday school, some folks do. They just can't hardly get up, you know, by quarter to 10 or 20 minutes to 10 and dive over here and get here for Sunday school. They always come dragging in, you know, about a quarter to 11. They come slipping in, you know, they've got that extra hour. I guarantee you something, Sunday morning, they're going to be clocking in down to work at 6 o'clock, 5:30, 5 o'clock. They'll make it. I'm not going to call the girl's name for sake of embarrassment. And I wouldn't do that for nothing, but she missed two nights. The ball game tournament's wrong. Her daddy is a leader in the church. And she missed the Bible, the ball game tournament. And come in Friday night and stood up and sang like nothing, like she'd been there every night. And the preacher asked, The man of God asked her, said, "That didn't it bother you that you missed the half of God to go to a ball game?" Why, she said, "No. Why, we already had this ball game place special. We already had a special. You know, I can hit cold. Y'all not have it." She's got an attitude problem. She's got an attendance problem. What takes priority in your life? Some folk are more, some men more faithful to their lodge. And they're more faithful to the goose for hoosh and the moose and the goot out and all that other stuff. They're more faithful to all that than they are to have together. They're more faithful to their sports teams. They're more faithful to their sororities and all this than they are to the house of God. And tell you something. Top priority in my life is the house of God. It took priority in 76 when I got in life with God. It's had top billing ever since. Ball games lost out. The stock car races lost out. The hunting season lost out. Everything lost out. When the Lord became number one in my life. And I can tell you who's number one in your life. I can tell you if you're really supremely in love with the Lord by your attendance to the house. Problem time for you. Attitude problems, attendance problem, allegiance problem.
Yeah.
That word allegiance means loyalty or devotion.
Yeah.
It means an obligation to support.
Yeah.
Allegiance. You pledge allegiance to the flag, you stand there and you salute that flag. You say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America." You're pledging your loyalty and your support. You're pledging even your life if it necessitates. When you join this church, when you join Battlefield Baptist Church, you pledge your allegiance, your support, and your loyalty to the man of God and the house of God. You pledge the allegiance. You're lost. Oh, God forgive me. This morning I got to go to church. But if you would call me this past week, tell me about a certain member in our church. Well, James knows who it is. Kind of tall man, kind of tall, maybe it is. He had been all week long. All stinking week, isn't it? Somebody said, "You want to say he had his teeth, bro?" He said, "Make him better than me. Every morning he got up and clocked in. Every morning he got up and clocked in.
Yeah.
You know what he had the audacity to do? The unmitigated y'all. I mean, he'd be impressed before. You know what he had the justice to do in the house of God this morning? He stood and meeting was kind of old, you know, it's kind of getting going. Some of them things have been getting right and paying a price. It's kind of getting on. And he got up, and it's just like he poured cold water down my back and over everybody else. He got up and said, "I want to thank God. I'm saved. I love the Lord with all my heart. Oh, said, I'm in love with Jesus." I felt like one of those slapping him saying, "You lied through your teeth. Hey, what is the house of God? I'm talking about pledging allegiance." Somebody said, "You got the flesh. I'd like to have gotten his flesh."
Hey, Nehemiah put the hair out of his head. What do you think about that? You better bless God when he's living back under the law. Nehemiah put the hair out of her head. I'm talking about placing a leaf.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Decoration days can come. They got to go down and decorate mom's grave, dad's grave, put flowers on, have a little service out there and go see them all happen. Take a top building, you'll have all that out together.
Yeah, leads you. That's talking about your loyal support. Hey, that includes your child. And y'all. But Brother Buster, didn't you see that board? Didn't you see $1,000? $1,300? Sure, I saw it. I ain't black. I guarantee you, people out here tonight, if I was a certain man, I'd be willing to wait to death tonight to take people in this country out here tonight to death. You're a dollar Christian. That's not all it's worth. You're a dollar Christian. Dollar on Sunday morning, dollar on Sunday night, dollar on birthday off. It's a dollar, 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 dollar. Every time it's okay. Hey, I'm talking about your tithe.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 10% of the top of your income.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Told you while ago, knowing the time is preaching time, I'm kind of behind time, son. I'm going to try to catch up. Oh, put your ties in. You love offering. Mission support. Problem times across America, the church. Church in America, the church of the Lord across America. Not only that, there's something else. I see it in many of our Christian lives. I see that there's also knowing the time and recognizing the season. I see that it's powerless. Powerless. I will say this, and you may not understand this, and you may think it is, it may better be all right, but it's just a good thing. I'm going to say it makes a difference in the glory of God and the power. The glory of God is when God meets. And God begins to manifest himself and he stirs and floods our hearts and soul. That's the glory of God. That power of God. The power of God. When God begins to move in, heavy convictions shall come. Convicting power, converting power, conforming power.
Amen.
Christian life, many, many times, I'm afraid, the world lives.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm afraid too often times it happens in my life. You know, you get mechanical sometimes in the service of the Lord. I'm just being honest. I'm just laying all the cards on the table. You get mechanical. I tell him, Little Mike, he pulled up there at the house of the band. I was out there working the old cards. He pulled up there. And this thing was burning my heart. It was just like a fire in my soul. We preach a lot of times on soul winners. We preach a lot of times on going out there and getting them. We ought to be soul winners, soul winners, soul winners. And listen, I'm afraid in my life many times I've preached on that. I pass out for acts. I try to be a witness. But I'm going to tell you what, that burden's just not there like it ought to be sometimes. This past week, down there, and I believe it was on Ninth Street. Dale, you can correct me. I don't know if it's Ninth, somewhere down where the old gospel mission is. We come down there and we unloaded that old van and got out there shaking hands with them drunkards. And them old harlots and going to hell without God. Got no boy in the car there. Sent him down there, down to the restaurant, bought him a meal. And that old boy said, I'll just stay in the truck. Y'all going in. He said, I don't smell good and I'm dirty. We said, you're going in with us. Were it not for the grace of God, we could be where you were and where you are. Hey, I mean, God broke my heart that day. Listen, folks, I'm talking about with hell.
Amen.
This many times to win souls. Powerless to be a witness in our community. Hey, I mean, it's one thing to preach it here. It's one thing to shout it here. But it's another thing to walk it out there on them streets. What broke my heart, Brother James, that old boy? He was 38 years old. He'd been a candidate ever since he was 31 years old. And that's Augusta, Georgia when he was 31. I told that man, looked like he was 55 years old or 60. Oh, my heart broke. My heart was sad. I said, oh, God, it could have been me. And he called home 3 days before we got there. He told us, he said, I called home. He said, my mother and my daddy, said, to that 65-year-old. He said, they thought I was dead. They didn't know where I was at and thought I was dead.
Amen, brother.
He said, we told him, we said, we'll put you on a bus to Augusta, Georgia right now. We'll take you and put you on it right now.
I know all about jailhouse religion. You won't tell me nothing about that. I preached in the penitentiary. I've been there. They want to ride it out of the penitentiary, ride it out of jail, and ride it out of the condition they're in. We told that boy we'd go down there right now and put you on a bus to Augusta and pay the ticket. He said, no. He said, I want to go hear y'all preach. He said, I'd like to go touch that meeting out here, y'all preach. He said, I can catch a bus at 1:30 tonight. He come up there, sat back there. He didn't want him going to church. He said, I told the steps. Hey, folks, we're missing it by a country mile. We're missing it. They ain't going to come in here. We got to go get them. We got to go out there.
Right.
That night, God broke my heart.
Yeah.
I tried to preach on John Quincy. I couldn't preach for crying and squalling. He raised his hand and said, I'm a sinner preacher. I'd like to be saved. After service, after the meeting was all over, he bowed back yonder in the back in the corner. With two other men of God, he got wide, he got saved. And here was the words that he's saying. He said, I've heard a lot of preaching in the missions. He said, I've heard a lot of street preaching. But he said, nobody ever preached to me with a broken heart and tears in there. I said, oh, God. I said, oh, God, I met in the pulpit too many times.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me. I love you tonight. I hope you know that. I appreciate the good song service. But you know, sometimes we're saying, let so-and-so sing, let so-and-so, let this group, let that group, they blend together because they got good harmony. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need some folk. Can I get the power of God on their life? They may not be able to carry a tune in a 10-gallon bucket, but stand and the power of God will have
them.
You know what brings it? I believe there's three things that brings a lack of power. I believe it's the lack of personal study. Hey, folk, be honest with me tonight. Hey, I'm being honest with you. I've made them all out here tonight. I mean, how much time did he spend in this old precious book in a week? I remember when I first got right up at the job, I could have been catching it. I carried around there in my brain on lunch. I took every little scriptures down on a single piece of paper and had it in my heart, studying that word. Study that word! How much time did he spend anymore?
Amen.
The work, we come home, we relax, we fellowship, we go to bed, listen. The old Bible, God's precious word said that. Night after night, day after day, week at a time, only picking up to come to the house of God. No power to cause the lack of personal step. Oh, God, the send of the Bible, my soul, fresh and new. I still love this old book. May I read it, pray over it, hide it in my heart. Hey, Mom, housewife, listen to me. How much time you spend reading the Word of God? Businessman, classmate, how much time you spend reading the Word of God? Hey, you're powerless because of the lack of personal supplication, too. Personal supplication. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about real genuine prayer. Hey, folks, listen, the Bible said in Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 20, the Bible said, but you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid too many times I pray. It's in the spirit of me. It said the spirit of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, teachers, listen, teachers, Sunday school teachers, singers, preachers, evangelists, powerless because there's just no time to pray. I believe that we ought to spend time talking to God about others before we stand before others. Tell them about that. Before you sing to me about the Lord. I believe you ought to spend some time talking to the Lord. Convicted, tried, found guilty too many times.
go on visitation. And I can grab that street and know where you're going. Which is a thought underneath your breath. Hope that God made that. Hope that God made that. I'm hoping, man. Hope that God will come from the dead.
Hallelujah.
God
does.
For some of you, when you first got out with God, you don't witness to that death. You don't witness to the devil itself. The full of God, your power. As far as the Christian life is concerned, I'm glad to have it. As far as this race, as far as this race is concerned, it's perfected that. Whoa, wait a minute, what's that word perfected? That word simply means maturing, fully developed, full growth. Perfecting that.
Amen.
Well, Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us we're in that race. Lay aside every weight and be sin that does so easily beset us. The Bible said in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrines, it said, let us go on. Let us go on. He said, let us go on unto perfection, unto maturity, unto full growth. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 said, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I just survey my Christian life. I survey my race. I survey the race since I got in November 1957. I survey this race and I just say, oh no, Lord, I'm not perfect. Not perfect. My life to the growth that I should be now, being saved over 27 years. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's external, and of the spirit, that's not a capital S, that's a small S, that's talking about your human spirit, that's talking about the internal. Somebody said, it don't make no difference what's on the outside as long as the inside's right. I guarantee you, if you ever get the inside right, the outside will take care of it. I said, ain't no sense in preaching on them things. Ain't no sense in preaching on them things. This Bible is full of preaching on them things. Well, not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Perfecting God. Internally. I wonder how perfected you are internally. I wonder if we've got over this envy, malice, strife, and bitterness, and jealousy, and hatred, and vanity, and emulation, jealousy, wrath, and strife, and sedition. Have we perfected? Have we always working on blaming the old man that subjects him? But that new man might be fully developed.
Amen. Yeah.
Hello? Not only that, the internal man, but that external man.
Yeah.
I'm not so much alarmed at 1-year-old, 2-year-old Christians. It's amazing to me that I know some 2-year-old Christians that have perfected more of their external life and probably internal life than some 20-year-old Christians. Okay. Holy Ghost is known as that's the person. The Holy Ghost tells that a so-and-so that just got saved that it's wrong to drink, that it's wrong to cuss, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to cheat, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to do these same things. Don't you think the Holy Ghost is going to tell you the same thing? The Holy Ghost. I'm going to say, I had a preacher one time tell me this years ago. He said, don't set your convictions any higher than you can live. I said, wait a minute. I didn't say to him, he was an elder. I didn't say that. I said in my heart, I said, wait a minute. I didn't set the convictions. God. God makes those, now those preferences that I've got in my life, preferences.
Yes.
But the convictions come from God.
Amen.
God don't have 4 or 5 sets of convictions.
No.
The same convictions for your pastor are the same convictions from the Word of God for you.
Now listen, I've got, listen. Jonathan, I'll be 6 months old. He'll be 6 months old. That's Rebecca's 3 years old. I'm going to tell you, well, I expect a whole lot more out of Rebecca. Rebecca's learning to say, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. He's learning. We're trying to teach her some things early. Teach her some things. And trying to implement some things in her life. And I'm going to say something. Jonathan's a baby. Jonathan don't understand. Jonathan can't comprehend. You know what? It's amazing. I'll be in revival meetings. Here comes some old long-haired boy. Here come a lady, in a split-tail dress, a low-cut blouse, and get in there and get saved by the marvelous grace of God. I've had them to come back the next night, some of them boys with haircuts the next day. I've seen them ladies. I mean, say, somebody help me. Somebody point me to a seamstress. Somebody that can sew up.
Amen.
Yeah. That's on the way. I'm going to say what you better do. You better hide that Word of God in your heart. Because I'm going to tell you, I have to quote that book for one. Listen. Heard a preacher say, he said, I've got to quote the Word of God. Kmart, the Walmart, and Red Bootstore. Hey, somebody pray. Somebody hope and unity. And I'm going to tell you something else. Faith many times in the Baptist church. I've had to quote the Word of God. And plead the blood. As people go to the cross. Amen. 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 Thank God, I ain't never had no home. I ain't never what that home economics of one of them women, them girls took it. I ain't never had no home economics. God, bless God, I can take a million. Go ahead and see what I'm
doing. Preaching time! I'm talking about listen, as far as this race is concerned, it's perfection time.
Amen.
I got news for you. Everybody's not doing it, and everybody ain't got one. You remember that.
Yeah.
Up the meeting last week, up in Obama, Tennessee, last 2 weeks, they've been some gun barrel shakes, straight preaching. Over the W.W. Burns from Alabama, fellow. He's an old time. He's 73 or 74 years old, an old timer. But I mean, listen, you're talking about straight away. I'm talking about straight. And he's done some preaching, but you know what? They were certain preachers just. I won't tell you hard to say it. It's up that way somewhere. Up there, and he's got a church over there, and some of his people been coming over. Some of them got under conviction. Some of them was getting lies, and some was perfecting this lies, and perfecting a walk of holiness before the Lord. And he said, I'm going to call him. A something preacher, who's a member of his church, he said, he'll be here Sunday morning. He's going to tell you what the church believes. It's alarming to me. It's alarming to me how many men used to preach on certain things and are now doing those things.
Amen.
Wearing those things. I don't care if somebody says, hey, you're young, I may be young. I've been saying 20-something years, been preaching for about 8 years. I know I'm still young. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't imagine how it hurts young preachers. And young men of God, and looking at some of these older soldiers, they begin to compromise. To please the crowd, get that money.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something.